Hey, Word Vomiteers. You're listening to the Word Vomit Podcast, the podcast where we talk about video games, movies, music, television, and comic books. I am your host, Randy Kings. And with me, I have the incomparable Vitamin E-Man.
What's up?
And to his right, back from parts unknown, it's the man with the plan. It's the undeniable, the inconceivable. It's Sean Vander.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Man, we can't do that anymore. We got to pay for that sock.
Got it.
Anyways, folks, we do this podcast free for your listening pleasure here at Garage Studios. So if you could do us a huge favor, please tell us or tell your friends about us. Get them to subscribe.
Yeah.
Guys, what is up?
Things.
Not much, man. Not much at all.
So I feel as though I should point this out that to my right is actually Randy Kings. So is Randy Kings now? Is Randy Kings now Sean Vander?
Huh.
Well, you know, folks don't actually see that. And when I looked at it, he's on your right side.
Yeah.
My right.
That's it. That's Manuel's left right there.
Also, fuck you guys. No one sees this.
Okay.
Fuck both of you.
But
why you gotta mess it up? Why you gotta ruin it? I did a really cool thing for Sean.
You did do it.
You did.
And then you're co-signing on it, Sean. No, fuck you. Go back. Go back to where you were. Go back.
I could.
We're fine with a duo or a single.
Are you? Are you?
Oh, apparently it's a single because I'm the one who brought it up.
Yes.
Okay.
Fine then. See, folks. No good happens. I try to do something nice.
Randy Kings is going to start the new Word Vomit podcast show. Oh, yeah. By the way, Sean, can you be a host for like 5 feet or three?
Nope.
Few episodes? Right? No, fine.
We're never going to have that happen. That's never going to be asked. Ever. Ever.
Mr. Trejo, I need a guest host on my podcast.
Actually, that would be dope. I'd be down for that.
You know what? I actually asked him if we could interview him on Facebook.
Really?
He saw the message, but he never responded.
Oh, that's the worst. It'd be better if he didn't see it.
I think I would have even been like, I would have been okay if he put no. I would be like, oh my God, he responded to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's better that he didn't see it at all, because then you're like, oh, he's signed, just ignored us.
It's that, or it's whoever handles his social media.
That's true.
If he's not doing his own social media, there's somebody else that's doing it for
him. I have to believe for a man who wears the different outfits he wears for those freaking, was it Sling commercials? The a la carte TV viewing subscription. He is killing it on those. If anyone who hasn't seen it, look online. For Danny Trejo's.
He's actually been really busy.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot.
He was on an episode of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
The same episode that had Susan Sarandon, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He has his growing businesses. So he has Trejo Tacos. He has Trejo Donuts now.
Yes.
He's got donut shops opening up. That guy's keeping busy.
Yeah.
That guy is busy. That's good to hear.
You know what's amazing is that he's a guy who started his career as an extra in, Robert Rodriguez films.
Yeah,
not even that.
He's like a background dude, and I'm like, dang.
I think I read it somewhere because Trejo learned how to box while he was in prison.
Yeah,
and they were doing a movie and they were recording it in San Quentin, and then they realized that oh my God, Danny Trejo can actually box, and they're like, hey man, you want to do this? Like, do you want to be his personal trainer? I can't remember what the movie was, but the main actor's personal trainer so that they can get a more authentic boxing. And then it just started going up from there. Like, hey, do you actually want to be in the movie?
He's like,
and then it just that's where his career took off.
Boom,
cool.
Then he was just
like, especially since the guy right out of the joint.
And then he was Cuchillos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Gotta love Cuchillos.
I'll have some Trejo tacos.
So what you're saying is. We really now need to get Danny Trejo.
Add him to the list.
We've already had him on the list, but I'm like, come on, man, we're going to get him. Danny Trejo, you're listening. Come on, dude.
I already asked you once.
For real.
On Facebook. Now I'm asking you on the podcast.
Come on, man. We'll come to you if you want.
Yeah, we'll go to LA. We'll do it at your restaurant. We'll do it at Trejo Tacos.
There you go.
Which is probably what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
when
we actually went here for this.
But we just so happen to have our recording equipment here. So, why not?
By the way, here we go.
We're just coming through here for San Diego Comic-Con, but we're going to stop at Trejo Tacos.
Yeah, right before we get there, we're going to
All my friends are like posting that they're buying their tickets already, or they already have their tickets for San Diego Comic-Con.
Fuck that. Not me.
Yeah, we poor people.
I don't know.
I mean, poor people. We just don't have the time. I don't want to be at like LineCon 2018.
It's not LineCon. I'm sorry. You're not talking about. It's not Fanime.
Well, I mean, Fanime too. That's why I don't want to go there.
I don't know.
San Diego Comic Con's like almost shoulder to shoulder.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Hasn't it gotten worse?
I mean, there's a lot of people who go into the event and everything, but there's a ton of stuff around that you don't actually... It's not crowded.
Okay.
I've gone to like almost a damn near a decade. And yes, it can get super crowded when you're going to things, but it's also like at peak times. Hey, I'm trying to walk to this area to go check out this booth. By the way, there's a whole fuck ton of line there because everyone wants to go talk to people from the fucks from Harry Potter. Yeah.
True.
See, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You got to know how
and
to
those
schedule
lines
it.
Bleed into other people's
exactly.
Booths.
Okay, maybe like, I shouldn't fucking, be so aggressive whatever. Towards Harry Potter.
Yeah,
they're
I was just
nice.
About to ask, where'd that come from?
Well, because they're the fuckers who made it where my booth, which was 50 feet away from the bathroom, turned into a 10-minute chore.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So
I get,
that's
no,
why.
That's legit beef right there.
Yeah, it's like,
that's
legitimate. But I will also point out that you can walk through, there's parts of the convention hall that you can walk through, and it's not LineCon.
All right. I don't know, man.
I mean.
But I'm also poor, too.
So, I mean, I might go next year. Maybe. I'm not going to think about it.
You actually had an opportunity to go this year. Or not necessarily an opportunity, but you essentially had like a scot-free, like, oh, yeah, definitely go for it.
Yeah, last year, my buddy Tim was like, hey, man, you want to go? I'm like, no, I can't afford it. He goes, I'll pay for it. I'm like, fuck. I don't want to leave out my family for like a week.
Because it's totally a week.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You would need to.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping one day Word Vomit will be in there as Word Vomit,
as
not
Word
just
Vomit.
As just like us going to the convention.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
But us being there and people wanting
recording?
To meet us and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, there's people who do that. There's people who maybe we can get.
We do that. But
no.
Not anywhere.
No,
like,
that. No, there's.
Not San Diego Comic Con.
No,
hell no.
There, but I'm saying there are people who've done, like, I listened to a couple of podcasts that record from a booth because they got lucky enough to be friends with someone who had a booth.
Shit.
And they were sponsored through that way. I'm like, damn, that'd be dope.
That.
Who do I know?
Yeah.
Who do I know?
We got some connections,
I think maybe, but it's going to be a chore. Maybe. And are you guys down for just a one day recording?
Yeah, sure.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Okay.
I actually just want to do that whole thing. Like, hey guys, later, VIP pass.
Okay, cool.
Just kidding.
If we're just recording, like, not just the video or whatnot of just our antics at San Diego Comic Con, that'd be fine.
Just got to be careful because the cops there don't fuck around.
Oh, no, I bet they don't.
They do not fuck around. I saw a fight break out when I saw the last parts of a fight break out at a panel. Like, someone
Shit.
Got stabbed in the eye. They had to, like, stop
at a
everything.
Panel?
Yeah.
I think we talked about that, actually, on the
crazy.
Show.
It is crazy. It is insane.
Nice. Well,
I've seen a couple things happen, like, outside, fights breaking out for different things. I'm like, what is going on? It's not that serious, guys.
It's cool. Never that serious.
Be cool. Be cool.
But anyway, but yeah. People still just lose their shit over things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of watching security about to throw down, I was at work one day, had gone out to lunch, and the place that I eat at, it's called Fountain Cafe, they have glass walls so that you can see into the outside. And I'm sitting there and I'm eating, and I see a homeless dude with all of his stuff just all next to him. In an area that gets a lot of heavy foot traffic.
Yeah.
Because it's a tall building, and there's other buildings around it. So this is more of just like, okay, everybody takes their lunch, they'll come here. So it, you know, you can't necessarily have all that. Just all of your stuff, even if it's all within his close vicinity, it was taking up a lot of space. So one of the security guards had to go up to the guy and try to tell him he needs to move. And then, of course, when he starts telling him that, the homeless dude just starts going off crazy, like, oh, this guy, da, 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 da. So the funniest thing that I saw was that as this is going on, you see the security guard getting ready to throw down. And he's doing it very calmly. It's in the sense of like, okay, he takes his shades off and he closes them and he puts them in his little glasses container. And then he starts pulling out some leather gloves. And like, it's one of those things where it's just like, just another day, I guess. And gets everything all nice and ready. And I'm just like, holy shit, is he about to throw the first punch? Is this really about to go down? Like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then the head security lady shows up, and the homeless dude just bails. And I'm just like, she ruined it for me.
Aww.
Because it was so cool to see, because it was one of those things where he was just like calmly getting ready, like, okay, about to get to work right now. Like, I want to make sure I don't get any blood in my hands, and let me put my shades away, because these cost $100. And just like... does anybody else notice this?
And is the homeless dude still yelling at
yes,
him?
Yes, entire time.
You should. And you weren't recording this. I know that's terrible. I hate having to say that because usually you don't want to see violence like that happen, and it makes it worse.
But
when
just the
recording.
Way the setup started, it's just.
But
oh.
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, if the assailant wasn't like a homeless guy, if he was just like some lawyer jerk ass that you're
or
like
drunk.
Oh yay, beat his ass. I'd feel bad. It's like, oh dude, this homeless guy's gonna get his ass kicked. And he's homeless. That's
you
fucked
know,
up.
But at the same time, you know, you're right. The guy's already got a lot of problems on his plate. But on the flip side of it, he's the one who blew up. He's the one that was the one that's causing
he's
the
yelling.
Scene.
He's
the one who was just okay. Like...
He's the antagonist.
Right. The guy was just like, hey, man, you can't have all your stuff. And kablammo. This guy went crazy. So I there's a part of me that's just like, okay, my heart's for you because you're going through a rough time, but you're not helping your cause right now.
No, man. Back up. Just take your stuff and go. Come back in half
an
hour.
Go away.
Yeah.
Get out of my house. Go. I don't know.
You wanted to see a game. You see some blows throwing.
You know, I guess just the part of him getting ready was fine for me. Because
like
it was just a cool scene. It's just like, like, no, whatever. Okay.
That was my mom.
About to kick his ass right now.
Hold on. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm
going to put my glasses
on. I get
down.
It. I'm a pig. I'm a pig. Yeah, I get it. Just whatever. Just bam!
Aww.
But in the officer's defense, the guy was going crazy, so you don't know exactly what he was gonna do.
And there's innocent public. There's people there around doing stuff. Like they're patrons, right? There's people walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
There's not only is there a bunch of places where, as Sean Vander said, you know, attorneys, but my building where I work has a DeVry Institute. So there's a couple of teenagers to young adults.
Oh yeah.
That are coming out for lunch as well, and you know. They shouldn't have to worry about things like that, but
you are correct. I think you're.
And again, if the guy had been like, "Oh, I'm sorry, dude, I'll get out of here," it would have just ended it right there. But for some reason, he felt like he needed to go to where there is a monument. A monument. It's right. There's a giant fountain where I work, and he
downtown
had to just,
Oakland,
just basically plant himself there.
Oh man,
like it's almost like we were seeing live action trolling right there. Is what we were seeing.
Sure. I mean,
just
really.
Posting up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I just got really quiet. So let's go ahead and move on.
All right.
Okay.
Well, also, did everyone have a good Halloween? Safe and sane Halloween? Obviously, we're here, so nothing bad happened.
Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm not going to lie. The past work week was crazy.
Oh, man.
And it's just like I was exhausted, so I didn't really want to do anything, which is actually why nobody knows this, but I'll go ahead and just say I was late.
Oh,
we were still actually supposed to record earlier.
Yes.
And we were supposed to do a Let's Play.
Yes.
And there's a funny reason for the Let's Play. I think we may go into it a little bit later on.
Oh, man.
But unfortunately, because of that, I couldn't get up in the morning. I was just like, no.
Those enchiladas got to you?
No enchiladas.
No enchiladas.
Maybe the stuffed pepper.
Okay.
But you know how
stuffed
it is.
Peppers will do that.
You know how it is in winter, though. It's when everything is cold around you, but you're under three layers of blanket and you just feel so comfortable. That you don't want to get up because it's just like, okay, as soon as you take those sheets off, wham, cold air is going to hit you. No, I want to stay under here. This is nice. This is real nice.
Oh, it's really good. Oh, wait a minute. I really got to pee. This is bullshit. But I don't know.
What do I do?
Yeah,
think.
Yeah, exactly.
You can always just.
So, you know what that was?
Turn and pee. No. Turn and pee.
You can do the whole bottle strapped to your leg thing with the tube.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, turn to the side and let it go that way and deal with it later.
Yeah. I think my way was a bit more sanitary. Actually.
I agree.
It's not ideal, but it's more sanitary. So, my fault for being here super late.
Just gave me time to get a donut, so it's fine. I thought about getting one.
I ate my breakfast.
But I'm poor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that my tardiness somehow worked in your guys' benefit.
It's fine.
So awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right, so a couple weeks ago, we had the Chester Bennington Memorial Concert that took place.
That wasn't weeks ago. That was literally on the 27th.
Yeah, it was the day after my birthday.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
No, you know, because you're thinking of the announcement they had.
Yeah.
They
announced it early.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, let's be honest. They were not. It's not like they were not going to do this.
Right.
Come on, guys. They were totally going to have something going for him.
And this was something that was thrown out by the original members of Linkin Park, right?
This was actually the first performance they would do after Chester passed away. And you know, it was very, I thought it was really nice. They had all these different bands come out. I mean,
yeah.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, please check out YouTube. They actually, they streamed it for free, which I was like,
they did.
It was a free stream.
Oh, like, damn, that's pretty dope.
And the YouTube video's out there, but yeah. Fair warning, it is a 3-hour video. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's 3 hours of entertainment right there.
You're watching a concert.
You're watching a full on show. You're not even watching a concert. I don't know very many concerts that go as far as 3 hours to try to jam pack as many people as humanly possible.
I mean, you can't, if you're going to a festival, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what essentially kind of like what this is. Obviously, they wanted to get as much. I mean, their library is pretty extensive and they had a lot of guests show up. Like we had mentioned it before offline that. You know, the part you saw was, you know, they had Blink-182 on, performing with them.
Korn
was there. It's like, oh,
Avenged
man.
Sevenfold.
A bunch of artists. Like, I can't even fathom the fact that they, not saying that they should have charged for this, but they could have easily charged for this.
They could have, but.
As far as streaming goes. I mean, obviously, people who paid to get in.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too, because it was also a charity event.
Yeah, it was a charity event.
So even if they were to say, okay, there's the price at the door, at least you would know it's going towards a good cause.
Yes. What you have the charity names that are there? We want to mention that.
Solar Suitcase. It's a charity that gets lights for hospitals, electricity, and hospitals that don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's very important, especially now with the weather there's been.
Yeah.
You know what? And I'm not trying to say who's better in this or that, but I have to point out that Tesla has contributed huge to the relief in Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah, we've talked about this.
We did.
They did.
And, oh my god.
Nor do.
And they I don't know if they got started or if they just finished, but they've already got everything installed.
Yeah, no, it's all done.
It's all done.
Well, they did the Children's Hospital in Puerto Rico. They used the parking lot as a means to put solar panels in, and they've given them their Tesla the wall batteries, or the wall. I think they call it the Tesla wall.
Essentially, they're an independent generator now.
Yeah.
So even if everything else goes out, they're going to still have power.
Took them 3 weeks. 3 weeks, start to finish. Oh my,
install.
God.
Yep.
I'm like, that's amazing.
Doesn't shock me.
That is no, of course not, because, you know.
Electricity? Shock?
Unintended term.
Yes. But anyway, but yeah, they did that, and that's cool that Linkin Park has their.
They're like, doing something similar to that as well.
Who's the other charity? I know it was with Chester's.
Well, that charity's called One More Light.
Yeah.
It was a Solar Suitcase. The other one, sorry, bear with folks. Was a mental health helping families and individuals cope with. Mental and emotional struggles.
I mean,
which we've said a bunch of times on the show that it's got to be something that's addressed.
I mean, again, it's really nice, especially, like I said, the fact of the matter is that this is now, for anyone who hasn't seen the concert, or who didn't watch it, like wasn't there live, you know, check it out on YouTube, watch it, there's a bunch of good acts. Now, I'm not going to lie, there is some things that are off. Emmanuel and I did talk about how there was a particular band's performance of a song, didn't sound great, but...
And let me go ahead and just say this now. It is not a detriment to that band itself.
Yeah.
It's just more of just a style clash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like, it's like, hey, they asked the band who their wheelhouse is not the same type of music as Linkin Park's.
Because they had so many different artists
coming
for this.
They're different varieties.
It wasn't anything of just saying to one particular
style.
It was, hey, let's invite bands that... really liked Linkin Park, got influenced by Linkin Park.
Or even just New Chester.
New Chester.
So they wanted to do something. Yeah. So nothing against it. We're not going to say who the band is. We're going to let you pick it out. But I will point out, it's like how I mentioned this offline, was when way back when Snoop Dogg did a cover of a Metallica song. And it was not, you remember that, Sean?
Yeah.
It was not great, but he tried to make it his own, and Metallica appreciated that he tried.
You know who I was really surprised for that performance? Because it was an MTV tribute.
Yes, it was an MTV show.
And the one that really caught me off guard was Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit actually did a really good rendition of Sanitarium.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Damn, dude. I want to hate on this guy.
Oh, because he's kind of douchey.
He is kind of douchey, but that was pretty good.
Yeah, he liked
shit.
It. He was good at what he did. But yeah, anyways, but watch it. I mean, and if you watch the concert on YouTube, for God's sakes, please give them some money. Donate some money to their charities.
Yeah, do that, please.
I mean, you watch 3 hours of like how many bands were there, Sean?
Good Lord.
It was a lot.
I didn't count.
It was a lot. You're going to get a ton.
Jonathan Davis showed. Oh, Avenged man. Seven.
Eventful, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Blink-182 was there. A lot of artists there.
Oh, yeah. Machine Gun Kelly from System showed.
Jesus, that's a lot. You're going to watch a lot of music. And if you're a fan of Linkin Park or just like music in general, and you or just want to do something good for the world, hey, donate some cash.
And, man, it's just really bad.
It doesn't take a lot.
Okay, so I was actually about to find out the list, and I typed in Chester under Google. And this was posted up from LiveWire or Loudwire, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this.
Sure.
Okay.
Mike Shinoda.
Of course.
Quote: Bennington in same category as Freddie Mercury. What do you guys think?
That's tough. I think that's too soon to say that.
Yeah.
A little too soon. A little bit, because you know.
Let's see. Let me pull up the article.
And Freddie Mercury, he's like one of my top five frontmen.
Okay, so here's how it starts. I'll go ahead and read the first part of it. It says, there's a difference between a singer and a frontman. A frontman goes beyond just being a talented vocalist capable of working the crowd in a live setting and establishing an onstage persona that helps to find a band. Linkin Park's frontman duties were split between Chester Bennington and Mike Shinoda, and the latter understands that he was working alongside one of the best, having put him in the same category as other giants like Metallica's James Hetfield and Queen legend Freddie Mercury. Quote, it was funny because he was the kind of guy that when you would compliment his voice, especially early on, he would look away. He would deny it or he would make a self-deprecating comment. Said Shinoda to Kerrang via NME about Bennington's humility concerning his talents. While one part of him really enjoyed being the center of attention, another part of him ran away. That was part of the beauty of Chester, Shinoda reflected. He also touched on another instance where Bennington shied away from personal accolades, continuing, and he was inspired by a wide range of singers and different points in his life, people like Depeche Mode's David Gahan, James Hetfield, and Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
I would occasionally remind him that he was in the category, but he never agreed with me. He never acknowledged that he was. I guess if you were to put it in the sense of a showsman, then okay.
Yeah, I
can say that he's up there.
And also, it's not like he's saying he's in the same category as Freddie Mercury, which I'm not going to disagree with, like as far as the talent and everything.
I was thinking of it more of
like,
of
are they equal
vocal range and such? Freddie, not just vocal range, but he can use his voice for any type of music.
Oh, yeah.
Any music at all. There's an opera album.
He made with a Brazilian opera. Was it Brazil?
Yes.
Or, yeah. Oh, God, what's it called? It's not Brazil. It's Spanish city.
Spain?
No. I know, but it's like a place in Spain.
Going back to the
Going
back to the original comment, I can agree definitely when it comes down to the form of being a frontman, a performer.
Yeah,
because,
sure.
He can get the crowd into it. There's that picture that came out shortly after his passing of him sitting there, and there's just a ton of people with their lights flashing on him.
Yeah.
That is such an epic picture.
Yeah.
And I think that alone is argument enough to say, like, yeah, he's up there with Freddie Mercury when it comes down to getting the crowd into it, to getting them excited for the show. It's not just about coming to see Linkin Park sing and perform their songs. It's to see Chester Bennington come out and perform.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can agree with that.
I can see. The way you read the way the title came off, it made it sound like, you know, he would be like this generation's Freddie Mercury, or he's like on equal par. I'm like, I feel like that's more weird.
That's more Loudwire.
Yeah, that's Loudwire.
That's more Loudwire.
Why I was like, that's why I waited for you to read the whole article. And I'm like, okay, no. Yeah, they're totally in that same category. I mean, that's not a bad company to be in. Of course, I mean, for me, if I had vocal talent of any kind, as far as music goes, I would totally want to be like, I would want to have that same energy that Freddie Mercury had. I've seen like video recordings of him perform. Like he did one at Wembley, and he had like 10 beers on his piano that he rotate the cuffs from drinking. Mind you, that's through a 2-hour performance. He's straight drinking without a break and doing it. And I'm like, how are you drinking and smoking on stage and still hitting those amazing notes? That is fucking amazing.
Actually, we've just been on a recent Queen rush as of late.
Okay.
We had to have the TVs on in our job, and there is a commercial for, I think it's a cruise ship, and they're using a Queen song.
Oh, I'm saying, is there a Queen cruise ship? Do I want to go on a Queen cruise? Kind of do.
Oh, hell yeah, I would. I'd do it.
Is there a class where I can learn to be a frontman like Freddie Mercury? I would totally. I would want that class. I kind of want to do that.
No,
like,
I'm not.
I like aerobic style.
I'm not disagreeing with
make
it.
Make that the exercise.
I think that could be a class, but he just kind of had it. You
well,
know?
Yes. Yeah. No, no, I'm not saying singing. I mean the running on stage and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
You'll That's what I mean.
You just get your conditioning up and lose a few pounds. I mean, yeah.
Or maybe let me get the Brian May training because he actually ran around the same amount of distance that Freddie Mercury did, except he carried a guitar.
Hold on, I'm actually pulling up right now what songs are used for commercials.
Oh, man.
All right. I'm hoping it'll be kind of simple to find, but it doesn't look like it is.
Would I want to go on a Queen cruise? You know, after coming back from a sabbatical, I'm going to say no because I would rather rest and relax.
Well, isn't that what you're going to
cruise?
Well, that's what you could do that on your cruise, man. Queen cruise will let you do that.
But I can imagine it just being loud and just rock and being epic. And that would get boring for the first two hours.
They're going to have quiet time. They got to have levels, dude. You can't have all rise.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, it sounds amazing. If I had like $1 billion in my pocket to burn, I doubt it's going to be cost that much.
I don't even think you need that much. You just need to be like a thousand air and we'd be good.
That's true. And then it'll probably have a Queen cover band playing like at night and whatnot. And you have to.
I don't know. I think they might actually have members of Queen show up depending on the cruise.
That'd be cool. I'd rather have dinner with them than watch them perform.
So the song that plays, really? And I hear it from time to time, and it's not just a brief little piece like they usually do on commercials. It actually is, I think, one of the vocal parts.
Okay.
It's Don't Stop Me Now.
Stop Me Now. That's a good song. That's a great song.
And that's actually a perfect example of the vocal range that Freddie Mercury has. Because he does more of a tenor, mm-hmm. and then he goes into alto and a little bit of soprano.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is a great song to beat zombies to.
I was just thinking that. From Shaun of the Dead when they're in the pub.
Oh, that's right.
He's beating the hell out of
when they're beating out of the hell out of the zombie.
Yeah. They'll stop and they're like hitting to the beat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of messing them up. Like, don't do that. No, no, no. It's actually
people are starting to get into it. Like, yeah.
Well, and I also pretty about actually let me rephrase that. It's actually not a great song because the amount of hits you're gonna try and match the beats that are in the song and it's gonna mess you up.
And you know, I was actually singing it in the car.
You gotta do it faster.
But the problem is that there's parts that Freddie is singing, but then it's the backup that's so most of the backup are the ones that are saying "Don't Stop Me Now," and then Freddie goes on to his.
I don't know what they're gonna say about if we try singing this song in here.
Yeah,
like we're gonna get in trouble. Fuck! Can we get that letter in a form letter? We're gonna post it on.
We're not making any money off of it.
Just, hey, we're not.
Like you I know, said, we do this podcast for free for everyone's listening pleasure. So we're not actually gonna get paid for it.
It's in the intro.
Hey man, people,
you just said
you can get busted for a lot of things these days.
Yeah, I guess you're true. That's true.
Boo.
That statement is solid.
That is that's unfortunate. Not the saying that people who own the music.
Do you honestly think though Queen would come after the little ragtag group of the Triforce?
You know what?
Right,
I kind
of
want that though. I would totally want that.
How much credit would we get if we said, "Hey, Queen came after us, and we can show the courts that we made zilch nada"?
Well, I would say I just want that letter saying that they would like us not to do it, and then I'm not gonna stop.
Well, yeah, I think
we're gonna say, "Don't stop me now!" Suck it.
Well, yeah, they'll send the cease and desist letter, but then we'll have a cease and desist letter signed by the remaining members of Queen.
Yeah. Essentially,
we could sign and frame it. And we could put it next to our other cease and desist letters.
This is like, yeah, busted. Like, sweet. Busted.
That's our Hall of Fame right there. Yeah. Our Wall of Fame right there. The Wall of Fame. Cease and desist letters. We got it. We got his autograph. We got her autograph. We got their autograph.
With our
Janet Varney, what did we do?
No, she'll be cool. No, Janet Varney be cool.
She would be.
She's super cool.
But honestly,
no, she's not coming.
What did we do?
She's not going to come after us.
She knows we're trying to build our brand.
Yeah, she knows what's up. She knows what's up. But was there any other performer? Did you catch any of the concert, Sean?
I watched, you know, with that thing, with the tribute concert, I listened to the first song Mike Shinoda did. And I'm like, wow, that was really good. That deserves.
Oh,
like,
the one that he was playing the piano on.
Yeah. And,
oh, my God, it was super good.
It was really good. And I'm like, man, so I hope. Like, because Fort Minor will come back. I mean, like Linkin Park's gone, but if like they're gonna bring back Fort Minor
did they officially say that no more Linkin Park?
I have no freaking.
No, I don't
idea,
think they have.
They haven't
I don't
said
think
that.
So.
Yet, have they?
I mean, I'm giving. To be honest, I give them like 6 months to really grieve and think about it before they even talk as a group about what's gonna happen to them.
And if it's just gonna be Fort Minor, then cool, no problem, because all those guys are super duper talented.
Oh yeah,
but. I was thinking to myself, it would be really dope to be at that concert, like really crazy dope.
Yeah.
And to get tickets in there would have been probably even more expensive to get in.
Yeah, you know, I imagine that they would want you to be in there just to experience. Like, I can't imagine.
Hollywood Bowl's kind of big, too.
Yeah,
so.
It's huge. So I'd be like, yeah, just come in, man. Come in and donate some cash to donate to their charities. Yeah. I would hope. I don't know. I'm not there. For any of our listeners who, if you did go there or know anything about it, please let us know.
Yeah, Birking, leave awesome. A comment, please.
Please tell us.
I want the mood of that place. That place must have been, like,
happy and somber all at the same time.
Well, yeah. You're celebrating the passing of someone that, you know, people, like, you know, thought that they
associated
with.
Yeah.
Happy and somber.
Happy and somber.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're right.
You were correct, but I'm saying, like, this is exactly why, because you're celebrating someone's life who unfortunately passed.
But as I'm watching this, because I had to watch it on the street, there's no way I'm going to be going over there, but...
Yeah,
I'm like, man, would I have wanted to actually go? I mean, because, of course, these guys are going to be playing. Of course, Machine Gun Kelly's going to be there, of course. Oh, I haven't seen Korn in forever, and Jonathan Davis is going to show up. I mean, come on. That'd have been really cool.
Who's gotten cleaned up and is just...
Good.
Which I'm weirded out by. Like...
Good.
Like, it's great, but I'm like, wait, what? For real? Like, I thought he was going to be that kind of... That guy who's always going to be like that. But anyway, you were saying, so you wouldn't have gone, or would
you... I don't know if I would have gone, just because, like, it's Linkin Park, and it's like, what the fuck do I do? Because I was lost when he died.
Yeah.
And now it's like... It's like former... It feels like a... I don't know.
It's
man.
Awkward because it's
and I don't know if I would have wanted to go.
You know, I guess it's that feeling of acknowledging that he's gone.
Yeah.
It's like rough. That by going to that show, it's just like some people may have started to just, that's when they started registering this. This is happening because he's no longer here.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah.
Do I really? It's just that can be pretty hard to deal with.
Yeah. And then having to deal with that at a concert.
On the plus side, the person to your left and the person to your right is probably going through the same thing.
Yeah.
So if anything else, it's probably the best place to do it.
Maybe.
Because that's what everybody is there for.
Yeah.
So I could understand having a hard time doing that at home because you're by yourself.
I could watch that at home easier.
I'm saying like going to the concert or like to grieve this way. But... To actually be next to people who had who Chester influenced.
Mm-hmm. You can share that with them.
You can share that with them. You are amongst good people in that case.
Yeah, I suppose. That's all that was coming to my mind when I watched it online, because, like, wow, what the hell?
So if you guys haven't seen it just yet, go ahead. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Go check it out.
To not do so, go check it out. It's pretty cool. It's free.
Phenomenal music.
Check out the nonprofits that they're putting out there. See if you can help. I know you guys said give money, and to the degree I also believe that as well. But I also realize that everyone has their own deals. And
I mean, if you can give whatever amount you can,
dude. Even if you go onto the website and put $5 down, that's still $5 that's helping somebody out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I learned a little side off topic, but I learned that there's a lot of food banks that are happening now, especially with the holidays coming.
Oh, huh. That's going to start.
A lot of people
now.
Are going to do food drives, but I also learned that a lot of times because of the way canned foods are made, it's not great for food banks to get them. It's great that you have it. They're not going to turn you down. But try and give them money, because a lot of food banks, especially the ones around here in the Bay Area, they work with local farmers to get fresh food. To feed the hungry.
And they sell it at cost.
They sell it super cheap. Like, I saw basically an example where someone got, like, $1, gave them, like, we have a table here that's, like, what? I don't know. We got 3x3?
It's roughly. Like
a, yeah. 3x3 table.
Roughly.
Okay.
Of food for $1. Of, like, different vegetables and
I think fruits. there was one
it's
of them
like
that was...
crazy amount. I'm like,
At one point, they had an entire Thanksgiving dinner for, like, $17.
Yeah, see, so...
Wow.
Yeah. That,
so food banks, they will take the canned food you want. But at the same time, those canned foods are not always the healthiest. Not recommended because of sodium and whatnot. You know.
String peas. No one likes canned string peas.
But, so if you can give a little bit of money, even a little bit can go a long way.
Yeah.
Sean Vander sounds like he's been disrespected by string beans in a can.
Yeah. No.
Was it string beans or string peas?
String beans.
Okay. Well, I'm not particular.
I'd rather get them fresh. But that's just me.
Well, I mean, canned
food.
Like,
he bit into it and it bit back or something.
No.
Canned food.
Why does this thing have teeth?
Why does this thing taste like a salty wang? Oh, God.
First off, how do you know what a salty wang tastes like?
I'm just...
Back to what we talked about before.
It's salty and it's very meaty. And they're like, oh, God. Oh, get this out of my mouth.
Moving on.
Anyway, but yes, donate to charities. Watch their concert.
You missed
YouTube.
Me.
So Disney finally announced the casting for their live action movie for The Lion King.
Why?
You don't want to see a live action Lion King?
Okay, so I get it. Disney, I don't know why you're doing the live action like movies, like live action like Beauty and the Beast, live action Cinderella. And I'm like, man, because
people
want
to see it.
I mean, those are cool, but I'm like,
you know, there's
a thing now.
You know, there's a yeah,
this is a thing now.
Also, well, technically, we have live action comic books. So you're okay with that?
Well, yeah, but okay, those well comic then. Book heroes, yeah. But Disney, yeah. You're doing live actions to like masterpieces that are already out.
They're not trying to replace it. They're just giving you a new version.
I guess, but I don't know if this is going to be a thing. They're
also right, before we continue on with this, I need to understand something. Okay, Sean Vander, why is it bothering you that Disney is doing live action productions of things?
Because it feels like to me, it's like you're replacing something, you know. And I get, like, you get phenomenal actors to do these live actions adaptations. Cool. And they do work out, and they sell like crazy at the box office. I didn't really feel Cinderella. I wasn't too sure about Beauty and the Beast.
That one's actually pretty good. I like that one.
I haven't seen the Broadway show of The Lion King. So
I've seen clips. It is fucking awesome.
It does look incredibly elaborate.
I'm also hearing really good reviews of Aladdin.
Aladdin, the stage show is really good.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to see that this Christmas.
I haven't.
It's super good. But with the stage, I get that show. But think of it this way. Here's another analogy. When you're playing, like, we played video games where, like, they were all 2D all the time. And then they do a 3D version of it. Like, Mario 64, one of the best selling Mario games.
Okay.
Of the time.
I want to play that again now.
Oh, man. Yeah. Same here. Is that terrible?
No.
Okay, well then.
Not really.
It's, you know, it's like, that's
here,
the idea.
You know what? Actually, Nintendo. I actually wanted to talk a little bit about this, too. Sean Vander, while you were gone, I had actually shown Randy Kings a video of a guy that was performing video game music live.
Cool.
So he was playing guitar. He was playing the bass.
Oh, yeah. It was super good.
I had shown him.
Guy has our intro, right?
No, that's actually somebody else.
Okay, totally different dude.
He had done Mega Man X.
Okay.
He had done two of the Scott Pilgrim versus the World themes.
Okay.
Which sounded awesome, by the way.
Yeah, they're really
good.
So
think of it like this. We have that, and then we have someone who's actually using live action music in order to create it. Usually it's the other way around when it comes down to video games. Someone will take a live like song and turn it into a chiptune.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this was done in the other way. So they took something from our memory, from our time growing up, and gave us a different rendition of it. Is that a bad thing?
No, because it's a different spin on some music.
And the same thing can be said about movies as well.
Yeah, I suppose.
We can get The Lion King, and then we can get a different spin
animation.
On it. And the best part about it is that the cast and crew that they got for this have already shown that they can provide us with some excellent stuff.
Well,
Case in point, the Aladdin Broadway play is blowing people out of the water because they know what they're doing.
All right. Yeah, well, of course they would.
And if it makes you feel any better...
Dude, the cast of Lion King.
James Earl Jones is coming back as Mufasa.
Well...
You can't be mad at that.
No, I'm not
he
mad
signed
at
off.
That. And yeah,
he signed
so,
off.
So... The directors for the live-action Lion King, Roger Ailes, and Rob Minkoff. They did the '94 cartoon. I mean, I can't hate that, and they're going to do the live-action.
Was it? And then Jon Favreau's like producing it.
Something,
and he has experience with that because he did the Jungle Book, which I watched that and went, holy shit, this is awesome.
No, dude, well, like they did. So Allers did Aladdin and Oliver and Company.
So
like,
think
my
it,
favorite.
And
cartoon.
Here, let me give you another piece of it.
Okay,
you're naming off these names of people that have done stuff that we watched as kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
I mean, I got my kid in the other room over here. We got a exposure or something.
Oliver and Company, The Lion King, were made during. Well, Oliver
we
and
were
Company,
kids
when
yeah.
we were kids. Oliver and Company, maybe a little bit before you were born. Or at least me, because I'm the youngest
one
here.
Yeah, yeah, you.
But
not me.
Those were made specifically for us in the sense of our childhood demographic. So they're trying to once again target us, the people that grew up watching the cartoons, Aladdin, The Lion King. Who remembers when Timon and Pumbaa had their own sitcom or their own
cartoon series? Right, their own cartoon series. Well, also, wait, you're saying that who direct? Because I have here, it's Jon Favreau's directing The Lion King.
No.
Yeah?
Roger Allers.
Nope. According to IMDb, it's Jon Favreau.
Roger Allers.
Lion King. I'm literally looking at it now. And then director.
Can't I see?
Jon Favreau.
Did I fuck up?
I think you may have. Because I'm like, no, it's Jon Favreau.
Since we're talking about people involved with it, let's go ahead and name off some of the people. We just named off James Earl Jones as Mufasa.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's coming back for it, man.
I'm so happy. And you know, I'm going to point out, James Earl Jones, I didn't realize how old he is.
How old is he?
He is. I mean, if you look at his photo, he looks
actually, He looks old. He has nothing but white hair at this point.
But I'm going to point out, I was like, dang, he's still... Like, you hear him talk. I've heard him talk in interviews and everything. He still has such a commanding, yet soft voice.
You know which one of my favorite roles he did?
Is it Coming Into America?
No.
That's the best.
No.
The king.
I know, like, a lot of people thought that I was going to do that or do Darth Vader. Sure. It was actually when he guest starred on an episode of Frasier.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was somebody who was in the hospital. He was blind. Before his wife passed away, she had her face... I think they made a plaster of her face so that he had a mask. Mm-hmm. And because he was blind, what he would do is he would stroke it because that's his wife's face right there. And it's a very sweet moment that he has or sweet item that he has. And then Frasier breaks it on accident.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And so he's able to glue it back and he gives it back to him and he starts feeling for it. And it's like he's okay. It's like, oh, yeah, there it is. Perfect. And Fraser's just about to step out of the room. And he's just like, I can't do it. And he turns around and he tells him the truth. I was just like, wow. I mean, I know it's a sitcom. I know it's not something as... It's not Darth Vader. It's not Mufasa.
It's not the old man at the Sandlot.
It's...
Who was also blind.
Who was also blind.
Yeah.
It was that little moment right there. Yeah. I guess it can kind of go to show that even though it's still acting and it's still a role... Something like that is a bit more humanized to me than Darth Vader, than Mufasa, than any of the voice acting that he does. It to me, it's just like doing those little bit roles makes him, at least for me, much more approachable.
Yeah.
Should an opportunity ever arise where I have an opportunity to meet James Earl Jones, I think it's because of things like that I'll say... Hello, Mr. Jones. My name's Emmanuel. I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you for all of your work. You know.
But yeah, as we're now correcting, is at least according to IMDb and everything else I've read, it was Jon Favreau who had directed and produced The Jungle Book. So he has experience doing this. Obviously, with his work in the Marvel Cinema Universe with Iron Man, he has experience dealing with CG and everything and the actors. But
wasn't Jon Favreau also on a couple episodes of Friends?
Yeah, he was a
Monica's boyfriend.
My friend who wanted to be an
MMA fighter.
He was a billionaire who wanted to get into mixed martial arts.
Right. When it was still really early. Yeah.
His trainer was like he'd say, he's my personal bodyguard trainer, also a former assassin for the Chinese.
I'm sorry. Painter of houses. Painter of houses.
Yeah. So who else is on this list? There's a big list, folks.
Okay, this is huge.
Donald Glover's Simba.
Dude, you just stole my thunder.
I was looking at a phone. I was proactively making notes. I have the image
that shows it right here.
Okay. Well, I made notes, which I fucked up on one little piece. You're right, Randy. My bad. But yeah.
Go ahead, Sean Vander, since you took the time to write it down in your notebook.
Give the baby one his bottle.
Exactly.
Okay. So yeah, Donald Glover, adult Simba. And Beyonce as Nala. That'll work. James Earl Jones, of course, is reprising his role as Mustafa.
Whoa.
God damn it. Mufasa.
Yay!
He's got wrestling on the brain right now. He's thinking of wrestler Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, you called it right on the head. That was no Jeremy Irons as Scar. Instead, replaced from the villain for Serenity.
Yeah.
And Morbo for...
it's Chiwetel. I can never say his name correctly, but it's Chiwetel.
Chiwetel Il...
Ejiofor. Ejiofor.
I'm sorry.
Who has like such a cool... When people say his name correctly, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Chiwetel? Yeah. It sounds super dope. And he has a good voice, though. He's got a dope voice. He was also in 7 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave.
Or, 12 Years a Slave. 12? Not 7?
I thought it was 12 Years a Slave.
Is it 12?
Yeah, 12.
Anyways, he's also in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he's Mordo.
He's Baron Mordo. Well, you can call him Baron. But.
Yeah, I wish they did. Well, he's but not whatever. A Baron, I know he's not a Baron yet. Give it a minute.
But then they also have like Eric Andre's in it. Oh God, love me some Eric Andre.
John Oliver as Zazu is perfect for me.
Yeah,
I saw that. I was like, yep, there it is. I can totally see it.
Oh, and Keegan-Michael Key is going to be showing up, which Kamari. I think is awesome. Billy Eichner is Timon, which I really like Billy Eichner. I don't know how I can see him, though, as not Billy on the street. If you guys haven't seen that show, you should check it out. It's very funny. He just runs up to people and asks them random questions, and then when they get it right or wrong, he yells at them.
Okay.
Like, really quickly. Like, you'll say, Sarah Jessica Parker, National Treasure, or worst person ever. Wrong! Okay, and, just runs off.
Yeah, just runs off. Okay.
Just runs away.
Eric Andre as Azizi.
Yep.
Let's see. Who else have we got here? John Connie as Rafiki.
Yep.
Seth Rogen as Pumbaa.
I believe that.
I can see that. I mean, he did Ted, so if he could do an alien, he can do a boar.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Well, it works. I mean, it's fine.
J.D. McCrary as young Simba.
Mm-hmm.
And Shahidi Wright Joseph as young Nala.
J.D. Curry, like that guy, I don't know what the hell he's been in, though, but his face looks familiar.
Oh, he's a Disney kid? He was in
Is
Casey
he a Disney kid?
He's from Disney Air. He's from Casey Undercover.
Okay.
He All was right. in a couple of that. He's like the younger version of a character there.
All right.
But yeah, he's been in a couple of things that, I mean, it's like, I guess he's very lucky because he was also in that series Blunt Talk where he was one of the kids that was singing. I'm like, you work with Patrick Stewart, you lucky bastard.
Dude.
Nice.
You lucky bastard. But yeah. Also, he's also been on the Eric Andre show. Which I'm like.
Oh.
For anyone who doesn't know who Eric Andre is.
I'm sorry.
You are missing out because he is hilarious.
He is in a show on Adult Swim, right?
Yes. And he is very. He's not what you expect to see. Like, we've talked about it before where he did the whole bit where he dressed up as Ronald McDonald crying.
While eating a Big Mac.
At a McDonald's.
At a McDonald's.
And it was priceless. Like, he said he couldn't show. Adult Swim would let him show up, but he let Conan show. He goes, they can't stop me from doing it here. I'm not on your show. And he did that. And it's like, dude, you are hilarious.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I get it. With a live action, with any reinterpretation of anything, from book to screen, from video game to screen, like, any type of meaning when you transform it, there's always going to be an issue.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess.
Thankfully, it's not like someone else is redoing Lion King. No, it's Disney.
Yeah,
giving an updated version of their series. And, you know, I mean, I can't. I mean, they're planning. There's going to be a lot of live action Disney movies coming down the pipeline because they've already done Jungle Book. There was obviously like Maleficent was the first one they did. You know, they got Sleeping Beauty, which I actually really like.
Maleficent.
Totally forgot about Maleficent.
It was more of a twist to it, right?
Yeah.
It was more so that the witch was actually the protagonist that was wronged by the king.
There's all these theories of why was this Maleficent, why was this magic being so pissed at the king? And originally, what I liked about this Disney villain is that essentially it was she didn't get invited to the birthday party. She was not invited, so she said, fuck you guys, I'm cursing you all. And then that's the Disney animated feature.
One.
And in the original, basically you find out that she had grown up in that kingdom, had some problems with the family there, became friends with a dude who basically took advantage of her because he wanted power, and they were like friends, and you know, he violated her. It's like, oh my God, this is terrible. Yeah, burn this place down.
There is a legitimate beef
burn
going
this
on.
Place to the ground.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, then I think there's Aladdin's supposed to be coming soon, or not coming soon, but that's on the pipeline. That's one of the titles.
It's one of their,
And then
they're planning.
Mulan is also one of the ones they're coming around.
They're planning that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Just go for it. They got it. As long as they can do it right, what does it matter?
I don't know. I suppose that, I mean, it's good for the kids, of course. My kid's going to watch the hell out of it. And
dude,
love
so
every
are
second
you.
Of it.
Don't
no,
lie.
I didn't feel Cinderella, and I thought, like, Beauty and the Beast was okay. Like, I was like, all right. It didn't hurt me to, like, not watch it. And this one, I have a feeling it's going to be the same thing. And, like, but it's for the kids.
Now, let me ask you
good.
This. Is this based off of your earlier proclamation of not liking the live action, or do you think it's just not going to be good?
I don't know. That's a tough call, man. I mean, just because I had so, like,
I mean, everybody,
such a great time.
Everyone's
going to
like what they're going to like, and everyone's going to dislike what they dislike. But if it's more so off of preconceived notions of, oh, it's because it's live action, it was something for my kid that I watched as a child, you know, maybe it's like you should still give it that opportunity.
I mean, I am, but I don't know, man. I'm on the fence about it, really.
So if they did it hand-drawn animation style, would you be on board?
Probably more so not, because there's already a cartoon of whatever you're trying to make. Like, if they're going to
it's basically just going after the medium.
Maybe it is the medium. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I watch too many live action animes, and I'm like, oh, fuck this.
Well, that's a stab in the dick.
That's a way different beef. Also, right,
but it is a way different beef. You're right.
I'll also point out that Disney knows what. I mean, it has an idea of what they're doing.
Disney is taking that properties that they own and are doing it. Yeah. Whereas live action anime are usually somebody bought the rights for it,
and we're like, we need to get someone to make this.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you want to make this movie? All right.
But I can understand why you have your reservations based on saying off of that. But on the counterpoint of that, it's Disney doing Disney.
I know.
Like, I didn't think that a CG Voltron would work out, and yet DreamWorks pulled it out with Netflix, and they're on season 4. Yeah. Season 4 coming up. Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, fuck, why is this good? It shouldn't have been good, and yet it was.
Mm. I guess I guess in order to make Sean Vander happy, it's just a matter of giving it to the right people.
Yeah.
At least this way,
I guess.
If something is made live action, if it's done by the right person, then you know you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know really why I'm not really enjoying it as much.
Also,
it's
another thing is, if you can try taking the, I hate to use the term, but the retro goggles away from it and think about what it is now for the future. Like you said, for your children. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll like it.
They're filmed fine. And then I could see like the cinematography in it and kind of take it apart. But maybe that's because I've know a little too much about the film process right now. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing this. You know who does this? Chris.
Yeah.
Does this all the time, and now
I mean, I just look at it as this.
He's feel like a
you.
Five.
I really look at this, man.
A five,
watch
eight,
a movie. If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, then you don't like it. That's fine.
Cynical man.
It's perfectly fine.
Mm. I mean, they're.
I have.
Beauty and the Beast was fine to me. Everyone loves the shit out of it. I'm like, all right, cool.
I just like that. The best part really is the dude who played Gaston. He killed it. And that was amazing. And the fact that he's singing dance, I'm like, fuck, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm. I forgot his name.
It's
whatever. It's
Luke.
Fine.
Luke.
When I see him,
Luke Besson.
Yeah, it's not Luke
Besson. He's the villain in almost everything I've ever seen, except for that one Musketeer movie.
Which
is actually called Musketeer.
That's the D'Artagnan movie.
It was horrible. Oh, like, oh, hey, there
with
he
wire
is.
Work.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, there. I mean. With the live action, as like I said, if it's done well, I mean, we're not going to know until it comes out. It comes out, what, in 2019?
Yeah. Ultimately, we have to wait until it comes out before we can actually give it a fair critiquing. Right now, it's all speculation. Like, they can have, for The Lion King, they can have this entire cast, and we can be excited about it, but there is that possibility that it's terrible.
Yeah, there is that chance.
If there's a percentage of that, that means it is possible to happen. But
it's also a good chance.
On the flip side, there's also a good chance that it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
It's just having to wait and see.
You know, because Donald Glover in something, he doesn't disappoint, man.
Yeah.
He really doesn't.
I think I've only seen one movie where I was disappointed in, and it was more of the, oh, they killed him off, which was that, oh my God, that horror movie that he was in with Olivia Wilde. Oh my God. I wasn't aware of this, actually. Yeah, it's a horror movie where they bring her back from the dead, essentially, and like, she is not right, and then she goes basically on a killing spree. It's called Lazarus, the Lazarus Project.
He's in that?
He's in it, and he gets, it's like, oh, my God, don't kill the black guy. I mean, he didn't die. I don't think he was the first one to die. I'm like, no, don't kill him.
But it fell into that. Why?
Okay.
Damn it.
Like, why'd you hide in
well,
there?
Did he at least have a good death scene?
If memory serves me correct, he got pushed into, like, a locker cabinet type scenario, which was crushed very tinily.
He's dead.
So I'm like,
yeah, he's not walking away from that.
Like, no, man.
It's like getting eaten by a shark.
He'll just shake it off. It's Donald Glover. He'll just shake it off.
He'll make it. But yeah, I mean, the casting on it, I think, is really good. Hopefully, they just have good chemistry with each other, and then, you know, we'll get a good movie.
I'm sure it'll be fine. That's all. I mean,
I just want to know who's doing the music. Like, if there's going to be any songs in it, like they did.
With Randy Newman doing the music.
Oh, why'd you say Randy Newman? Left paw, right paw. Mufasa's going to die, a bunch of boys. No. That's not how you would do
it. No, you wouldn't.
But I mean, just I hope not.
Yeah, no.
I hope not. Oh. It's like he's just going to, he's going to, the songs are going to describe exactly what's happening all the time. Oh,
just walk out of the theater.
Simba's
going to
go
point.
On a journey watching his daddy
that'll
die.
Definitely ruin the movie for Sean Vander.
I'll just stand up, go instant Super Saiyan, and just be pissed.
Why would you waste being Super Saiyan on that?
Yeah, there's so many things that you can go Super Saiyan for.
If I
could
go Super Saiyan at will, I could just go for Super Saiyan at anything. I mean, like, they don't have my crummy donuts at
the
donut
store.
What the fuck?
Like, why are you wasting that, dude?
It's not like it's limited time, Randy.
Wasting it. Wasting
could do it at will. Could do it when I pee.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Actually, no. Well, based on the version of Dragon Ball, it seems like no, not always at will, because that shit goes away.
Well, yeah, no, it does. You get tired.
Boom.
Yes, sure.
So no, you can't do it all the
full
time.
Day's rest, whatever. I could turn it on.
Again,
it's like
wasting
water.
Energy, just saying.
Such a waste.
Jesus.
Terrible.
Oh.
Fine, I'll do a day or a year in a hyperbolic.
So what you're
chamber.
Saying is,
whatever.
You want Dragon Ball Z live action musical to happen, and
probably exists.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And
I bet you actually. Well,
I don't want to see it.
I'm just imagining the types of songs that you'll hear.
They're dancing and fighting at the same time.
Because there's already like a Broadway show of like Spider-Man and
that's
Batman
already done. No, that's done. With all those are done. The Spider-Man actually.
And
was
they're
watching,
horrible. Apparently,
Turn Out the Dark. No. Turn out
from what
the dark.
I love how in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Deadpool actually makes a comment about that when he fights Spider-Man. And he goes, I'm going to mess you up like a Broadway musical, Spidey.
The problem with that was that they had, the music I thought was okay because they did like a stage show for it during a parade during the holidays years ago when it was still on. The problem they had is they tried to, you know, show Spider-Man swinging on different riggings and whatnot, and it didn't work out because they would get stuck and they didn't know how to handle it because they obviously hired a team that didn't know how to use wire work on stage.
I remember being weirded out when I saw Neil Patrick Harris doing an award show for, I think it was the Tonys for Broadway.
Yeah.
And I saw Spider-Man just show up out of nowhere. I was like, okay, I know there's a Broadway play for Spider-Man right now.
Yes, Turn Out the Dark. But music written by Bono.
But what the fuck?
Yeah. The thing is, I saw it. I thought it was cool when you see, because they have a lot of stunt doubles.
Because you see everybody dancing, and then in the corner, you see Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, it's because, it's in the background. it's a little weird. But I will say the part I thought, I'm like, sure. Hey, that's kind of okay. What I'm not saying is that there shouldn't be a Dragon Ball Z musical. I'm kind of on board. A little bit.
Of course you
would
be.
Just a bit, though, right?
A little.
Just
not
a little.
Whole lot.
Okay.
Of course you would be.
Well, you don't know kind of... Make it a Japanese musical, then. You don't know. It might be better.
Oh, yeah. It's all great. Whatever.
Do you guys follow Two Cellos?
Yes.
They actually...
Them, yeah.
There was one performance that they did where one of the guys came out dressed as Goku.
Oh, shit.
Adult Goku. They sat down and they start playing something, and at first you don't know what it is, but then they start playing the original Dragon Ball tune.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, dude.
Nice.
That's cool.
Headshala. That song. If that song doesn't get you hype, I don't know what's wrong with you. There's something medically wrong with you. You need to be checked. That's what I think.
You know, just to kind of go back to what we were talking about a little bit beforehand as far as stuff being made for us, one of the things that's going on is when we... The idea of celebrities, people on a higher status than us, mm-hmm. liking the same things that we do, the reason why we get such a big kick out of it is because there were people that grew up around the same generations that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were a kid and you look at the celebrity adults, they're their own thing. You would never think that George Clooney was a huge Super Mario fan. That idea would never pop into your head.
Okay.
But someone closer to our age, like Ryan Reynolds, it's not too surprising to say, like, hey, Ryan Reynolds plays Destiny. That's not too far off, actually.
No.
Even if that were just a guess, it would be a closer... I'd be more accurate to say that than I would say that Clooney plays Destiny as well. You know? And I think that's what it is so much, though, is that a lot of the celebrities like the same things that we like, and because of that, it almost feels like we can relate better to them as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Well, no, I mean, like, now they had that whole... like when you're finding out different people who have are in, like when we I didn't know that Lupe Fiasco played Street Fighter. I didn't know he was super into that. I'm like, oh, he's got that hot single. Wait, what? Yeah. He knows how to play Street Fighter for real? Like he's got the he's got the characters down.
I didn't know Vin Diesel can do D&D.
Oh no, he
until I saw him on YouTube. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, he based.
He's a hardcore D&D player.
He can do
He did that Witch Hunter movie he made. Yeah. That character is his D&D
character.
I'm like, oh shit. Right. That's super dope.
That's cool. Didn't know that.
Well, it's because he has a career where he's portrayed in a certain light. But then you're like, no, we would probably have been hanging out with Vin Diesel.
Possibly.
Be honest. We would have been hanging out.
Possibly.
And he'd be like, okay.
Possibly. You guys might have been extras in the Fast and the Furious series.
We might have been in the background. We're in the background. I was like, what's up? We're gonna be his D&D friends. You're like, hey man, we got the ready. Goes like, oh, he's gonna say, oh, it's all it takes is family and a dodecahedra. I'm like, oh yeah, all we need is family and a dodecahedra. I'm like, oh,
you guys brought your character sheets, right?
I'm like, fuck yeah, man, let's do this. We're in the back, right?
I live a mile at a time,
or whatever that.
It's quarter mile.
Quarter mile.
At a time.
Yeah, whatever. It's cool. All
and
right.
A dice roll away.
Yeah,
I go.
Just plus five. Plus
you brought
five.
Your 20, right?
Roll for initiative.
Roll for initiative. We roll for initiative. I'm like, yeah, that's how that works, right?
Yeah, sure.
So
that is how
now
that
in
works,
my mind,
Randy.
I'm thinking, not that we'd be in the background for Fast and Furious, but if they made a Fast and Furious themed D&D game, how that would work out?
Probably not.
I would say, in order to help the sales go up, they would probably have the first 500 boxes signed by Vin Diesel.
Oh yeah, easily. Easily have that there.
And they have
extra character sheets.
And they have an extra character sheet uniquely to that. I think that might help drive sales. I don't know I don't know if I can say it'll be a success.
I don't know. Hey.
No, it won't. I don't think
I mean, you never know. You never know how things will play out. Never in my days.
And one of them has a golden ticket where you can play a game of D&D with Vin Diesel.
I would totally be, I'd be okay with that. You're like, yeah, let me play with you. Let's get this. Gets all mad.
Oh boy.
I'm going to make a tree character. He only says three words. It's not going to be I Am Groot, motherfuckers. Nope.
Hey, like I saw what you were thinking there, and that's not it.
Nope.
That's not it.
Actually, it would be Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious.
That wow.
Or Furious and Fast, I don't know.
And he burns your tree person.
Probably. I'm cool with that.
Fast, Furious, and.
Fast, Furious, and. That's what I'm going to say. That's all he says.
Oh, boy. All right.
So okay. What we learned today is, one, hey, folks, Sean Vanner's back.
Yay!
Two,
yeah.
He does not like live action anything.
Boo!
Well,
not anything.
To be fair, also
we have been burned by live action before.
He was
hard.
He was forced to watch live action anime, which no one should ever really do.
Hard,
but that's your bad. You made that. You made that choice, though. Remember
I mean,
that.
You know,
you put yourself in that position.
You did.
Attack on Titan was so good, and then.
Oh, I thought you meant the live action. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, Attack on Titan was so good, and then they made a live action version.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
you made a live action
fuck,
one,
man.
I thought you were talking about.
At
that.
Least it looked nice. At least. That's all we got out of it. It's just a nice little thing.
Oh, actually, you know what? Live action, it's not an anime, but a live action manga coming super quick before we end it out here.
Live action manga?
Yeah.
Wait,
Blade of the Immortal coming out. It's getting like
a
lot of good
Blade
reviews.
Blade of the Immortal is coming out, but I mean, it's from a manga. But
yeah, so my statement was correct.
Yeah, but I'm like, live action comic
manga.
Book?
Yeah.
Wait, how? I don't. All right, well, whatever.
My
computing process was a little weird.
You've seen Captain America movie, right?
He's been gone for too long.
Oh, we just discussed that.
I think his brain needs a little bit of WD-40 to get it going.
Hey, I'm fine. Fine.
We'll just stick it in his ear and just hit the button.
Yeah. Anyways, check out Blade of Immortal. That comic book also really good.
It is.
I'd gotten a hold of that like in the late or mid-90s. From a friend of mine, he got it at a. He like met the artist through the when they were translating here for America, and it is super dope.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So check out the live action one. It's I think they're doing a Fathom event because it's a foreign film technically.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
All right, so we've hit the hour mark.
Yeah.
So Randy King, since you've opened us up, why don't you go ahead and close us out?
Welcome back, Sean Vander.
Thanks. You don't want to talk about where we're going to be next week?
Oh, we did mention
we did mention that a little bit. Okay, let's make it quick.
All right, really quick. Going on the charity tip, we're going to be at the Day of the Devs 2017. It's an indie event here in San Francisco. My plan is for all three of us to be there.
Yeah.
You can sign up for it now. Go to dayofthedevs.com. You can see all this cool stuff. It's hosted by Double Fine Productions as well.
Double Fine!
as well as I Am 8-Bit. Mm-hmm. They're going to have food trucks. They're going to have the game developers there. You get to play some of the games. They also have a thing going on now where if you go to humblebundle.com, actually, I did a Google search for Day of the Devs Humble Bundle. You can, for at least the next 8 days, donate money to get the, like, was it like 9 games? A lot of them are obviously Double Fine production titles.
Clearly.
But, like, you know, get Day of the Tentacle remastered. If you get a certain tier, which is like the $9 tier, you get like 9 games and you get a VIP pass, which gives you a chance to get into the show an hour early, unobstructed from the public view, as well as a front of line pass.
Yeah.
Which I feel like since we're advertising this, people are going to get in there, and that front of line pass is not going to do us any good.
Shit.
Because everyone's going to cut in line in front of us.
Damn it.
But that's okay.
Cheaters!
Money goes to charity, though. The money part of, you know, a lot of money will go to charity. If you're not familiar with Humble Bundle, you know, they do all that stuff.
Get your head out of the sand, because it's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, let's see. I'll pull up the list right now really quick. You will get games like Tumbleseed, Grim Fandango Remaster. These are all PC titles, mind you. They're going to be DRM-free, also available through Steam. Loot Rascals, Abzu, Flint Hook, Day of the Tentacle Remastered, Full Throttle Remastered.
We just did an LP on that.
Yeah, everything. And then, of course, you get the Day of the Devs VIP Pass. So check it out. You can go to dayofdevs.com. We'll be there doing some recordings, playing some games.
Maybe interviewing people. Maybe.
That's my hope. We're going to talk to folks.
I'm going to tackle the guy from Double Fine, Tim Schafer. You're going to have to let me interview you.
Don't hurt him. No.
Actually, at least don't do it where they're going to see us, because, you know, then we'll
don't
get in
trouble. Don't hurt him. He's Tim Schafer.
I want my interview, damn it.
Okay, well, all right.
I'm not going to let him. Here's how it's going to be. Randy King's going to be interviewing him. But around his waist, you're going to see hands. Well, that's going to be mine.
That's gonna be
because I'm holding him.
That looks very awkward. I don't know if I can do that.
I'm not letting go. Not letting go until you let us interview you.
I don't know if you can interview him while that's going
on. I can actually
interview
him. I can interview him. But what I want for you to do is for the whole entire interview, just focus on Tim Schafer only.
Yeah.
And then at the end, then we pan.
We pan out.
As we're leaving, we go, do you have anything else to say, Emmanuel?
Just Emmanuel's,
and then we'll pan to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, do you have any questions? No.
No. I'll let him go now.
Tim, you okay? All right. I'd be more concerned. He goes, what's that in your pocket? That's not my pocket.
I'm just happy to see you.
Oh, Jesus. That's the voice you're going to use.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that would work. Anyways, so yeah, that's what we're doing next weekend. That is November 11th, 2017. It's going to happen in San Francisco. Again, if you guys are coming down, say hi to us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
take some pictures with us.
And you'll absolutely hear this show beforehand, so, you know, you can know to go to Day of the Dev.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. And that's where we're going to be, man. That's where we're going to be. If you want to mess with us, too, that'd be cool. I don't know any questions we'd ask or whatnot. It'd be like, hey, you want a soda?
You want a soda? There's a soda truck right there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of food trucks out. I mean, we can get a
kind of stoked about those food trucks, actually.
Yeah. I mean,
well, have you seen the list of developers? The list of developers is actually pretty dope.
We'll take a look at that in a bit.
But the list of food trucks.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
More tacos.
So, again, back to what I was saying.
Does Danny
Welcome
Trejo
back.
Have a food truck that's going to be a David?
It's
That'd be dope.
It's Trejo. Trejo trucks. Trucks by Trejo.
Yeah,
trucks by. You know what?
That's
an idea.
Donnie,
Danny Trejo, you
that's
got,
yours.
That's yours, but we want our photos, a picture of us of a truck.
Or interview.
And our information, if you know.
That'd be cool.
We'll gladly
Trejo
post
trucks,
your, we'll gladly work. Post your menu on our social media.
Sure. For like a week.
Well, no. Well, we're getting some sponsorship from all
right,
this.
Cool.
All the time.
A month. Wait. All right. All the time.
Are you going to say no to Danny Trejo?
No. Probably
okay,
not.
Well, there you go.
I'm
anyway,
too afraid.
I think we're done now, for real.
All right. Final words, guys. Randy Kings.
I already said, welcome back, Sean Vander.
Sean Vander?
Welcome
words.
Back, Sean Vander.
All right. So once again, everybody, thanks for listening to the Word Vomit Podcast. I am Emmanuel with Randy Kings and Sean Vander reminding you, hey, stay shiny to each other.